This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
We've just had the closing ceremony. Quite sad, but also rather beautiful. Tell me what you think.
I was just saying outside, talking to a few friends I already have and some new ones I've just made, that the theme for this week was play, excite, inspire. And the fourth word for me is feel. And the last 3 days have been filled with feeling. Some of that has been the physical environment, and some of it has been the intellectual stimulation, and much of it has been the song and the sharing of people from many, many places.
Lovely.
And for me, it's the that this will stick in people's mind and they'll come back and connect to it as they go through the next 5, 10, 20, 40 years of activism and building our community. And today is going to be an important part of that that road that they'll reflect on and grow through the experience.
Have you been to a human rights conference before?
I haven't.
Right. So what brought you here in the first place?
I work at the GLBT radio station in Melbourne, Joy 94.9, and I've come from the west coast of Australia, which seems a gazillion miles away right now, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to work and live in Melbourne, and when I realised that I was closer to New Zealand than I was to Perth, for the first time in my life, and that the OutGames competition and conference would be in Wellington, I spoke with Greg immediately about how we could share our experiences of the Idaho campaign, the International Day Against Homophobia, with a broader audience and make the most of an opportunity to meet people from Asia and Pacific.
It isn't on the beaten track, is it, human rights?
Well, it isn't on the obvious beaten track. I'm 49, 50 in a couple of weeks, and I think my first human rights conference was about 16, and I went as a straight person or into a straight environment, not being out, and it's probably interesting to be part of the human rights movement all the way through 34 years and seeing different parts of how we collect and it relates to the work you do when you work in gay community, just as Danae does with radio. I've, you know, 20 years ago I worked in AIDS councils. HIV was the predominant human right that gay men were pushing for and working with. And we now coalesce with women, with trans, with intersex, with groupings from within ourselves that we didn't know existed. Human rights perhaps has always been there as a journey for us, but it's only now we see that we actually have a role, not just in having the rights as individuals, but in progressing the rights of other people we collect with, including perhaps heterosexuals. There's a spin-off here that where the broader community benefits by the work we do as activists for human rights for our community.
Can you think of an achievement, one particular achievement that the conference has accomplished?
Here to this conference? It's the removing of the blindfold that many gay, lesbian, trans, intersex, cisgen people have about other people. They have blindfolds, layers upon layers of blindfolds, even masks. We've got to remove those to start to truly see ourselves through other people's eyes, and that's the benefit I see through conferences like this.
We talked about it being off the beaten track. And apart from the road imagery, I think of this as bridge building. And the great thing about bridges that they join places, and you can come to and from those places. And I feel connected with people that I haven't had an opportunity to meet and work with before.
That can be a shortcut as well, can't they?
Yeah,
I can take out a lot of travelling all of a sudden.
It's a very picturesque bridge we've built here.
And it's a validating experience too, because for all of us, whatever we do in our communities, from our perspective, it actually checks in and says this is real and this is a good thing to do. So it's actually an empowering and validating experience that grows us further and pushes us further and in new ways, hopefully.
Do you see another conference taking place?
Yes, I'd like Samoa. I'm putting the vote up for Samoa because I think that would be lovely. Yes, yes, I see this work continuing.
It'd be lovely to connect people outside Asia Pacific with these conferences in where you can go to Internet Cafe in Africa and tune in to the happenings at all the sessions of this conference. And likewise, we could look at a similar conference in the African continent and connect with their culture through our experiences. So maybe there are multiple conferences run at the same time in different parts of the globe that can connect virtually, which would be a great way to take future connections of LGBTIQ community.
I think we're early adopters of technologies, and I think there's... I see the next conference as really expanding on that, that we can record, that we can share digitally for those of us who can't be in a physical location. I work in a radio station. I could imagine us being based in the conference as well as a hub. I think there are lots of ways to connect, but in lots of ways we can't take away from that physical reality of it's been a very visceral experience, going back to that feeling.
Technology for you, or is
I'm with Danae. I can see a conference radio station effectively that broadcasts and interviews and creates a community for the life of the conference, and then the quality audio goes out like sparks, like lightning bolts, to various communities, gay and straight communities, and provides audio content, instant feedback, instant connection to the lot of us that perhaps aren't connected to community, that are gays, lesbians, trans, living in the broader community, not connected back to our rainbow communities.
We felt these interviews could be a start, but for the archive, if you like, to be alive and continuing.
A living archive.
A living archive.
Yeah. A dynamic living organism that just lives on. I think that's fabulous. That's a good way of having it.
And I think the participants in this conference are the living archive of our communities. I loved that there were young people, old people, and everything in between.
It'd be lovely to capture the young people's voices and in 10 years, 20 years time, sit down and re-interview them and talk about the shift that's happened between today and 10, 20 years from now.
I met a woman who'd been to the Melbourne conference, and she saw great continuity, really. I was wondering if she saw contrast, but I think she saw it as much to do with continuity as anything.
Well, I was in Melbourne, and I've seen a maturity about this conference that wasn't there in Melbourne. There's it's now an adolescent. It wasn't an adolescent before. It's grown and it's evolved further, and it's a beautiful thing. So who knows where we'll go?
Do we have to wait 3 more years?
I don't know. As well as suggesting Samoa, you could also write, well, how about a year's time?
I think it. Congratulations to all the organisers, including those recording people's commentary, because that was something I really enjoyed today. Was that not instant, but feedback about the experience within the experience, rather than a paper in 3 months' time, or I've recorded some things that I want to play with as a personal creative project. I have no obligation to put that to air, but it was great to hear participants and organisers reflect back today. I think that was a great thing. I wonder if that's part of the maturity you were talking about.
I think it's part of the maturity. It's the it's the connection to culture as well. There's a little bit depth of culture in such a recent country as New Zealand has, where we're a more ancient country that is disconnected from its 40,000-year-old culture. So that's the beauty about this. It's connecting to Indigenous people in a way that we just can't achieve because of the journey Australia's been through. And I think that's the credit of this and the depth that's come. And in a way that, hopefully, for me, the stuff I do back in the country I come from renews my connectiveness back to culture and back to Indigenous culture and the way we can do that.
There was an Aboriginal, one Aboriginal woman. I believe that there was a small group. There were more at the Melbourne conference. Do you think this is a step back for... Do you think it's something we should have done more to make sure that there were more Aboriginal people?
I don't think it's a step back. I think it's a... We're taking a roundabout route because you need to connect to more parts of an Indigenous community, not just the people that have the funding or have the access or have the services that support them. It's about connecting to the people that are disconnected currently and won't connect. So this is a bit of a wake-up call on how to be more innovative and smart on how to connect to Indigenous community back in Australia. So I think it's quite timely.
And personal things you're going to take back?
A new hat, which is awesome.
I've got a picture of the tradesman out the front of the conference, which I'm thankful to New Zealand for putting on the tradesman at the start and the finish of the conference. Fabulous.
For me, I've had a chance to have some time to listen and share conversations with people and think and be inspired. So I take a renewed energy back with me.
And a thought, my last thought is it's about Barry Taylor, because it's probably 18 years. So it's allowed me to continue a friendship and see yet another part of that man's life. And he's been a great person his whole life, but it's fascinating to see how new dimensions have popped out of this individual I thought I knew, but he's an amazing individual.